We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, she did say barbecue. My bad.
Well, not the first time you've been wrong. Won't be the last.
Yeah, probably not. Welcome back to the Straight Up Diddy Takeover on ESPN Upstate. As always, we want to hear from you, 844-477-3776, to give us a call. Make sure you can text us as well, 71307. Start that message with ESPN. All right, we have blogs going up daily on the website, ESPNUpstate.com. Today's blog is from our very own Diesel, and he's telling us, sadly, that Greenville is never going to have a major league franchise. Explain yourself. How dare you?
It never will, and that's okay. There have been rumors, faint rumors here or there over the last probably 5 years or so. I've heard them. I don't know if you've heard them.
Yeah.
That Greenville could eventually be a candidate for a major sports team. And sadly, it's never going to happen. Back in 2017, Greenville was named the fourth fastest growing city in America.
Yep.
It's everywhere. You drive anywhere from where we sit right now, 10 minutes, you're going to find at least three or four new apartment communities. Yep. There are people moving here in droves. There is big business moving into the upstate, and it's phenomenal for the economy. And typically, when you have that much growth, eventually, you're going to have to find a way to entertain all of those people.
Yeah.
And one fantastic way to do that is through a major sports team. But the thing is, Greenville is not and will never be ready or considered to be a major sports franchise or a major sports city for at least four different reasons.
Okay.
Number one, the population is not conducive to having a major sports team. Mm-hmm. We are a small market. Greenville represents about 68,000 people. It's not big at all. The entire metro market is 1.5 million. That's chump change as far as major sports are
technically
concerned.
That's half the state too. Because right. It's Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
Yeah, it is a huge chunk of the state. So, you have to have to be able to pull in, depending on what sport you're talking about, anywhere between 20,000 and 100,000 fans on a nightly, weekly basis, you got to have a heck of a lot more people than 1.5 million.
Yeah,
it's just not doable. And we are in an era of sports markets. It's all about markets. How many viewers can you get? How many eyeballs can you get? We don't have the luxury of being a Green Bay. That was established for greatness before markets mattered. Mm-hmm. Markets means everything nowadays. So that's reason number one. Greenville will never be. Reason number two, the people that we have here don't support live events in the way that is necessary to sustain one of those teams. Unless it's Bruce Springsteen, I don't know if he's ever played here, but unless it's Bruce Springsteen playing Bon Secours, okay, Paul McCartney, unless it's a worldwide kind of name, Greenville doesn't support live events. How many venues have you seen close in the upstate? Because people don't go. It's not a get out and go somewhere kind of town. Not yet. Maybe 20 years from now, once these people who have lived here long enough have fallen in love with the place, maybe then. Greenville Drive. People don't go to Drive games. People don't go to Road Warriors games. Not in a
Swamp Rabbits.
Swamp Rabbits, excuse me. not in a sellout capacity. The point is the people who do live here are not so live event hungry that they have to get out and support these things. Number three, Charlotte's 25 years ahead of us. They're right up the road. They're already established as a major league city. They've got the NFL. They've got NBA. They're already considered a very attractive opportunity for Major League Baseball expansion, and now they're heavy favorites for Major League Soccer expansion. Why would any one of these leagues ever look at Greenville, South Carolina, when you've got Charlotte, 2 hours up the road.
That's fair.
Reason number three. And reason number four is this market is used to winning. This is Clemson
recently,
country.
Recently.
This is Clemson. Well, still, it's really easy to get spoiled. People get spoiled very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So if you are if you're a Clemson fan, you're used to winning. So if you start a franchise and you don't win, you're in a world of hurt.
Gotcha.
You know, the novelty of having a major of any sports team wears off very quickly if you suck. So those are my four reasons why Greenville, South Carolina will never be a candidate, at least not in the next 50 years.
Well, just to correct one thing, the Greenville Drive are the highest attendance in all of the South Atlantic League in single-A baseball. They average 4,792 fans per game, and it's only, what, like a 5,000-something stadium? So they do very well for the single-A ball. And I think a big thing that's an issue, here's my stance. The Carolinas as a whole really should be one state anyway. But it's underrated as far as sports, I think. I think this whole area is far more sports hungry than they're given credit on the national scale. Because we see all of the talk, all of the hype, all of the conversation goes to the major markets. New England, Boston, New York, LA, Miami. You know, it goes all around there. But like you said, this is one of the fastest growing cities in the last 20 years. It's continuously on those upper levels of those lists, being still growing, still getting bigger. I mean, we've expanded downtown all the way out to what used to be an area you never went to, down Augusta Street. We're booming with breweries and food. We've become an incredible foodie city with food all over the place, restaurants galore that are just top-notch, beer, wineries, all of these great things. The Peace Center is packed for every single event that's there, including a local guy, Marcus King, coming back last week, made my brewery empty for Saturday night because everybody was at the concert. So I think there's so much going on, and I think that it's more underrated of a city Greenville is than any other city in the Carolinas. Obviously, Charlotte in the Carolinas is the gold standard. That's the main city. Raleigh-Durham probably right behind it. I wouldn't say that Greenville shouldn't be third. I think Greenville is the best city in the state. Obviously, we're knowing in the history of time, we know more about Columbia, Charleston. There's more talk of those cities. But Greenville has been a booming community. It is a transient community nowadays. You have so many people with all these industries that you listed in your blog coming from Europe, coming from the Northeast, out west, down south, below us, out of Florida. A lot of us aren't from here. There's a lot more transient. There's a lot more big city feel in Greenville than there used to be. We've both been here a long time. You probably longer than me. I moved here in 2000. But from 2000 to 2019, less than two decades, it's not even the same place, Greenville.
I've actually been here less than you. I moved here in 2007.
Okay, since 2000, there was nothing. There was nothing. Roger Frobe was still one lane in each direction. They were just finishing the expansion to two lanes in each direction and already saying it's too small, not enough. And obviously we know that every day. So I think this city is the best destination if there were a chance for South Carolina to get a team. But I think what you're saying is right, because it's unfortunate that we're too close to Charlotte and Atlanta, that the national talk, the national spotlight is never going to fall in between two markets that they've known for decades.
And see, the great thing is if you were to somehow plant one here, talk about the rivalry between cities. But we also don't have that. There's a cultural difference between the way people consume sports in the North and the way they consume sports in the South. In the North, it's a city rivalry.
Yeah.
It's, I'm Boston, I hate New York. I'm Pittsburgh, I hate Philly. On and on and on. But we don't have that in the South. It's not, I'm Greenville, I hate Atlanta. Or I'm Charlotte, I hate D.C. There is none of that. And there's no city-to-city rivalry. And especially because most cities in the South don't have all of the major franchises. Mm-hmm. So, sure, you can have a hatred between Charlotte and Atlanta during football season. But when football season is over, you got nothing.
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist anymore. So you have to be able to maintain that rivalry among multiple sports. And point is also is that Greenville, it would be at best the third choice. If you were ever to expand any other major sports league into the Carolinas, it's probably the third, maybe the fourth best option. Columbia, maybe. Charleston, maybe. But really, I mean, you're probably right. It probably is third down the list.
I think it's number one in South Carolina, to be honest, just with the industry we have around here from, like, the whole region, obviously, as you included Anderson, Spartanburg, and Greenville. We have all of the industry, Michelin, BMW, all this other stuff. I think we should be the front runners as far as South Carolina is concerned. But like you said, unfortunately, it's been too long of notoriety, and our fans in our town are either Charlotte fans in football or Atlanta fans in football. Most of them are all Braves fans. Most of them are Clemson and Carolina fans in college, but really nothing else in the state of South Carolina. So it's fair in either way. I just don't know if I can say never. I definitely don't think it's anytime soon, because we still have to grow to that level. But let's get to the phone. Yates wants to talk about Greenville and our chances at Major League sports. What do you want to talk about, Yates?
Well, I know I was going to touch base when you said about the Greenville Drive. Yes, they're leading the Sally League. That's what I was going to kind of defend them. I mean, 25 years ago when the G Braves were outside of town and we had Chipper and Javi Lopez, yeah, and Ryan Klitschko, the place was packed every night. Now, that was – no, that's 25 years ago. We had global basketball, you know, for 3 years at downtown Greenville. I don't think anybody from Greenville wants to be like Charlotte. Greenville's changed a lot. It's very eclectic. I don't think even the people who live in Greer and Spartanburg go to Greenville as much, because it's changed so much. But bottom line is, around here, college football is king.
Yep.
It always is and has been for a long time. And like y'all said, as long as Clemson's doing what they're doing, nobody's going to worry about Major League Baseball or soccer or, you know, Falcons are 2.5 hours down the road. The Panthers are iron 15 minutes up the road. So, you know, it is what it is, but it's still a great place to be.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. And I wouldn't say that we're trying to be Charlotte. I actually think that we're such a really cool mix of, right, like a trickle down of Asheville and Charlotte. And then you add in the just transientness of people coming from other parts of the country, other parts of the world. I think we've made like a really cool hodgepodge of culture in our city. And I just think that that's something that if it continues to grow at this rate in the future, we could be considered. Just no time soon, because we are 25 years behind Charlotte. Charlotte is the better destination city right now of really anywhere in the South, even probably better than Atlanta at this point, because the city itself is somewhere you want to go, whereas you don't really go to Atlanta. You go to the things around Atlanta.
And also, in our 25 years of growth to catch up to where Charlotte is now, Charlotte will continue to grow.
They'll continue to grow.
So Charlotte is still going to outpace Greenville no matter what. And hey, as a resident of Greenville, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Most residents of Greenville will say, you're right, we don't want it to become Charlotte. No. We don't want it to become this major hub of everything you know, and all of the negative things that come with that. Sure, there's plenty of positives that come with that, but there's lots of negatives that come with that as well. So Charlotte will continue to grow and continue. You know, it would have to take something catastrophic happening in Charlotte for Greenville to ever catch up.
Though I will say this, with the knowledge I have of MLS, and it's pretty good in my time in Orlando, I think they would be smarter to put a team here than Charlotte, because going up against the NFL in an NFL town is impossible. And they're going to have to play the end of their season in the fall going up against the Panthers if they put them in Charlotte. And that's just not going to work out as well. Unless they're in the finals, in the playoffs, making the MLS Cup like Atlanta did, where you've got fans in there in the fall, I don't think it's going to work out very well. Whereas here, it'd be the only ticket, only thing in town if we were to have that Major League franchise. But I think you're right. It's going to be a long time, if ever. If you want to read this blog, very good blog over at ESPNUpstate.com. Check out Diesel's blog. You can check out Sturges yesterday, bashing the Summer League. I'll have one up tomorrow. Mark Ryan has one coming on Thursday. We're going to move on, though, from this, and we're going to talk a little college football. As you said, college football is king, and for the next week, we'll be given endless amounts of predictions and best-case expectations for the upcoming football season. Well, we're going to change it up. We're going to give you the worst-case scenarios for the Tigers and Gamecocks next on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to the straight-up Diddy Takeover here on ESPN Upstate. Tons of things for you to chime in on, as well as our Twitter polls at ESPN Upstate. We'll give you the results of those coming up. But as of this week, media days are here. Our buddies Mark Ryan and Lonzo with Offsides will be up in Charlotte tomorrow for ACC Media Day, giving you the live coverage. And for the most part, the talk about, you know, mostly best-case scenarios for these teams, what they expect from these teams, how good can they be. And a lot of times, sometimes, you know, that's not good. It could be bad in the first place. Even the best case scenarios, say the Gamecocks, kind of getting a lot of talk about being 6-6, maybe snatching a low level bowl game. Obviously, we're hearing Clemson's going to be the best in the ACC again, and I'm sure they'll be ranked that way as well. But we want to know how bad it can get for Carolina and Clemson overall this year. Is losing two games the end of the world for the Clemson Tigers and Tiger fans? Is anything less than 500 the end of Will Muschamp in Columbia? Well, Diesel, let's start with Clemson. What is your worst case scenario for the Clemson Tigers in 2019?
Losing to one of them being South Carolina.
Ooh.
And missing the playoff because of it.
That would
you lose
rough.
One.
Yeah.
Depending on what else happens in college football, there are plenty of other contenders for those coveted four spots. And then you lose to a team that you should demolish late in the season.
Yeah.
That's especially rough. Because what if Clemson loses, what is it, week two, week three, A&M. Texas A&M? Yeah. Well, if they lose that game.
That won't kill them.
It won't kill them.
No.
But you've still got a stain on your record.
Yeah.
And so late in the season, it puts some question marks surrounding your name. And then you lose to South Carolina.
Which could be completely unranked at that time.
Could be.
Because their schedule is insane.
Right. That is worst case scenario. Taking a loss. Whether it be Texas A&M or anybody, Texas A&M, you might still be okay.
Yeah.
But let's say Clemson takes a loss to Syracuse this year.
Syracuse on the
NC
road again.
NC State.
Yeah.
You know, if they take a loss to a team like that that they're supposed to beat, and then they lose again to a South Carolina that they're supposed to beat late in the season, you miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you really see who Clemson fans really are.
Exactly.
Because I've said that on the show so many times. Clemson fans appreciate the run that you're on because it is not guaranteed. It is not preordained by some higher power that you are going to be a 15-win season every year.
Mm-hmm.
So appreciate what you've got while you've got it. Have a little humility.
Fill the stadium for your national champions.
Yeah.
That would help. Well, I mean, I'm kind of with you, I guess, on the worst-case scenario being missing the playoffs. I guess as a just negative Gamecock fan, I can't fathom saying that Carolina's going to beat them because I don't think they're anywhere close to that level yet. So I don't see that happening. But I could see them maybe dropping to A&M, maybe another loss that they shouldn't have later in the season, maybe a Syracuse or somebody else. But I honestly expect them to win the ACC again, obviously. I don't think that's much to say. I think that's pretty easy to guess. And really, I don't see them falling below the fifth or sixth seed if they are to fall out of the playoff. I think that's really as bad as it can get for Tiger Country. And I think that's the greatest thing you can have.
That's an amazing place to be.
In college football.
It's an amazing place.
You might not finish in the top four, but you're still getting a New Year's Six Bowl and you're a five or six seed at the end of the season. Pretty dope.
And,
I'd take that.
And for
and that's
Clemson,
right, I used it once for Sturge.
For Clemson fans who want to be able to attend postseason play, it's not a bad thing because you get to go to a destination that's maybe somewhere different than where you've been, and you only have to go to one.
And quite possibly, I don't know how it's going to work out this year, or maybe even Atlanta, and it's a close trip, and you save some money because lately you've had to go very far to see them play in the playoffs and the national championship. So
Uncle Visa
could be a little better.
Yeah, if you're a Clemson fan, Uncle Visa has been paying for some of your flights over the last couple of seasons.
I can't fathom it. As such a poor person, I'm like almost glad the Gamecocks are terrible because like there's nothing that pulls me to want to spend money to fly and go see them anywhere. It's just not going to happen. If they go on some crazy run, I'm going to be in big trouble because I can't afford it. But I really think that's it. They, at very worst, if all goes bad for Clemson this year, I can't see them finishing worse than fifth or sixth. And that's so good for you guys. Like, congratulations. I'm jealous. I'm not even going to lie about that. For the Gamecocks, though, I see much more of a doom and gloom scenario as a worst case scenario because really 500 is what's expected on the national scale right now. We heard, I'm blanking
on the guy's
name.
To say that Clemson's worst case scenario and Clemson's worst case is still better than South Carolina's best case.
Yes. It's so depressing.
They're realistic best case.
But in fairness, and I'm not trying to degrade what Clemson does, it's still you still have to win the games you play, and they still I always will give them credit for having the guts to actually play teams outside of their conference that are legit teams and play them in home and homes, unlike Alabama, who only schedules neutral site games. They at least went to A&M and won last year and get A&M at home this year. They have the guts to do that. They still have to play Carolina every single year.
Scheduling
and sometimes
Auburn, scheduling
South Carolina's
Georgia.
Good. They scheduled Georgia. They scheduled Auburn. You don't see that with this tier of team in college football because typically they don't have to, but Clemson at least makes up for the fact that the ACC has been bad by playing people, which I will always respect them for. But in that same respect, the best case scenario for the Gamecocks stinks because, man, look at the schedule. I mean, they have to play four top 10 teams, including three of the top four at the finish of last year with Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson. So it's just hard to imagine them their best case scenario catching up to the worst case scenario for South Carolina or for Clemson. But I think the worst case scenario for South Carolina is something that we saw just a couple of years ago at the end of the Spurrier campaign. The worst case scenario is another 3-9-esque season, is a loss to App State, maybe even coming out of the gun ice cold and losing to UNC up in Charlotte, because then you're worried about Vanderbilt. Then you already know you're losing games to Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M. You already sold those ones off if you lose your first game to North Carolina. I think it all comes down to that game. They come out and lay an egg in week one, it's over, and it's over for Muschamp. That's the worst case scenario.
It feels good being an App State homer for you to call App State a must win for South Carolina.
Well, obviously. I mean, App State, they have three games that are just obvious wins, which you'd hope to be obvious wins. But, I mean, App State's not a slouch as far as the lower level teams to have to play when you come into those games. And when you have to play them in the midst of playing top 15, top 20 teams, Florida's a top 15 team. So you got A&M, Florida, Georgia, Alabama. It's... And you sneak in an App State. If you have a team that's just so dejected because they're just getting beaten and beaten and beaten, you saw them lose to the Citadel just a few years ago.
So I've already got the topic for my next week's blog, why South Carolina should get the hell out of the SEC and try to rejoin the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yes. Then you have an ACC rivalry. Put them in the Coastal so they play against them.
Make less money, win more games.
I'm down with that.
And then on the back end, make more money.
Yeah, because I hate conference cheering, so I have no tie to the SEC personally. I do not care about any of the other 13 teams in that conference, so get rid of them. I don't care. Move them to the AAC. We'll beat up everybody except for probably UCF. They'll kill us. Just get us some wins. I just want wins. But really, I can't see that any better than that. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Clemson's going to finish outside the playoffs. I still think they go 11-1, 12-1 with the ACC championship at worst and win and make it into the championship, into the playoff again. But Gamecocks, I fully do expect them to be able to get to 7, maybe 8 wins, surprise us in one game or two. But I think that the bottom line is that 6-6. And I think, honestly, a 6-6 season should be an extension for Will Muschamp. But anything less should heat his seat up for next season. And anything very bad, my worst-case scenario, you got
to
move on.
Well, the biggest problem is fans will not appreciate what it took to get to a 6-6 season for South Carolina this year. All they will see is 6 losses.
Yeah.
All they will see is a 500 season. They won't analyze, well, who do we have to play?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, winning 6 games out of that schedule is actually pretty good. All they'll see is 6 losses. So, South Carolina fans, if you get to 6 wins or 6-6, appreciate what you have and say, all right, good. We just went through a murderer's row of a season. Next year is where it's at.
Especially if they can get through those games respectively. If they can get through those games and at least show that they were in it in some way, like not be down 49-7 at halftime, then there's at least a showing of improvement in those big games against those top tier teams. And at least that gives you some hope looking forward, even if the season ends up 6-6, because you have to know that this schedule is just stupid. We've heard it ad nauseum over the last few months. So you got to just expect that. I just think, again, worst case scenario is just as bad as you can think. That's the worst case scenario for Carolina, and it has to be, in my opinion. What was your worst case scenario for South Carolina?
Worst case is maybe picking up. It's a 2-10. 2-10 season.
Worse than me. I was thinking 3-9.
I mean, 2-10 is awful.
It's bad.
It's really awful. And I, you know, out of those two, if all you're picking up is two wins, I don't know who you get them against.
It's going to be tough. And that's the thing. They're going to have to show up and play, and they're going to have to impress us in some way to get past six wins. You just have to think it, because they've had Kentucky as their kryptonite for the last 5 years. They just can't beat them. You used to think that was a guaranteed win. With that win, that gets them to six or seven. But then you still got Tennessee. You got to hope to beat them on the road. You got Florida. You got Georgia. It's just going to be really hard to get beyond a 6-6 record this year. But you guys have your Twitter poll out there to tell us your worst case scenarios for Clemson and Carolina. We'll get to those Twitter results at the end of the show. But right now we're going to talk about something that's not sports, because some of you like to say that this is the dead season in sports, which is really just the non-football season to you guys. Well, it got me thinking, what do people watch when there's non-sports on, when they claim there's not sports on? Diesel and I, we're going to give you our top watches for the dead season next on the Straight Up Diddy Takeover.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You can also get on with us on the phone, 844-477-3776. Go vote on our Straight Up Diddy Takeover Twitter polls on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. We talked at the top of the show about how I think there's no dead zone in sports coverage as far as the seasons are going. There's no dead season for me. Sports are always on. There's always something happening. British Open this weekend, MLS, everything else, obviously baseball for me. But to give in to the Twitterverse and the dead season talk, we wanted to talk about things to watch during dead season that aren't sports. So obviously, we've compiled some lists of the things Diesel and I have been watching. I'll let you go first. What's the first thing that our listeners should check out while they're waiting for football?
Absolutely. Get on the nostalgia train. Get on Stranger Things Season 3.
Amen. That was my first choice as well.
Absolutely fantastic show. It's got all the, hey, I remember that.
Yeah.
Or, hey, oh, yeah, it's got a lot of that.
Yes.
And they know it, and they double down on it, and you love it. And so many shows screw that stuff up.
Yes.
They mess it up so hard. You know, they try to make it too obvious that they're trying to incorporate these nostalgic moments. And Stranger Things just does it well. They make it feel so much more natural than what any other show does. So if you like those sorts of throwback shows, and trust me, they're out there. There's tons of them out there.
And it's a lot of fun to like try to find all of the different references throughout the series. Like all three seasons have had references that are pretty blatant as far as being part of the storyline, where
sure,
you can see it, like the Ghostbusters outfits for Halloween in season two, obviously to time it and say, oh, they're in 1984. And then this year they go to, there's a Back to the Future part. They go to the movies, Back to the Future's playing, so you know it's in 85. So it's kind of those little things. But then there's also little things, like in the first season, Jonathan has the Evil Dead poster on his wall.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that. It's just so much fun to see all those little 80s movies, 80s shows, 80s music. The first episode of this new season was basically a Fast Times remake.
Yeah.
They even reference Phoebe Cates. Like all
they reference her multiple times, and they reference it again towards the end. I'm not going to give that up.
No.
There's the new Coke that only a handful of people like.
Yep.
Most people hate it, and only a few people like it. So, yeah, Stranger Things Season 3.
And my favorite scene was, and I don't know if anybody said this is true or not, but it felt like it was a reverse of Caddyshack. Remember in Caddyshack where the female lifeguard walks by at the pool and all the guys start staring at her as she's walking by?
Oh, yeah.
In the first episode of Season 3, it was Billy walking through.
Sure.
Shirt off, muscle-bound, good-looking kid. All the moms were lined up at the pool waiting for him to walk by. It was like a little flip, little play on Caddyshack right there. I thought that was pretty cool as well. Well, I'll go to the second one of my list because that was the first one. I'm going to say Good Omens on Amazon Prime. Great show. This show blew my mind. Our engineer, Philip, told me to watch it, and I was like, that sounds dumb. But it's got David Tennant, who's awesome. It's got Michael Sheen, who's awesome. And it plays a lot on, you know, religious context, good and evil, and all these different things. Phenomenal show. I really hope they renew it for a season two. I enjoyed every second of it. It's almost a religious, not religious, but religion-based Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the way it feels, the feel of the show, the flow, the humor, the little, you know, nuances of it. I felt like it had a great Hitchhiker's Guide kind of feel to it, and it made it a lot of fun. And they were basically playing the, you know, angel of good and an angel of bad and trying to keep different things from happening. And, you know, it's really good. Just a great show there.
Was that the show that idiot evangelicals called up Netflix to try to get canceled? And the problem is it's not
on
Netflix.
Amazon Prime. Yeah, yeah. That is exactly that show, which is why it's great. It's a phenomenal show. And that tells you that it's a phenomenal show. What's your next one, Diesel?
My next one is because I see a show get so popular and so trendy. I'm like, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to do it. I need to catch up on Deadwood so that I can watch the Deadwood movie that came out just a couple of weeks or months ago. So I've still got some catching up to do on Deadwood, but that's out on HBO.
Yeah, and I've been rewatching from the beginning. I want to watch all the episodes again. I had seen it all when it was on, but it's been years since that show was on. I loved it. Timothy Oliphant's one of my favorite guys in Hollywood. Everything he's in is good.
And you watched it as the normal consumer has to, where they had to wait a week between episodes. Yes. And now you're in a position where you can binge things. Yep. And if I have to, I almost will not watch a show when it's live on television because I don't want to have to wait a week between episodes.
Exactly.
Because I want to be able to binge three or four in a row.
And I think the binging is what made me love the end of Game of Thrones better than most people because they had to wait so long between episodes, then wait 2 years for the last season, so they were already mad. And I think I started watching it like a month before the last season, binged through all of it, and then just had to wait on the last season, and I thought it was phenomenal. But my third one, this is going back to the good old days of wrestling, utilizing my friend's WWE Network login to watch all the old cool stuff with Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen, watch some Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan stuff, go all the way through into the 2000s, early 2000s, into the late 90s with the Attitude Era. I've been having a lot of fun watching that. So if you're a wrestling fan, you could probably just pull them up on YouTube, or if you have that WWE Network, just watching that old wrestling stuff. Get yourself pumped for the football season by watching some Ric Flair promos over there on the WWE Network. I've been doing that a lot lately. It's a lot of fun.
Keeping it sports oriented, why not get it on Last Chance U season 3 that's on its way out here probably, next 2 weeks or so?
I think so, yeah.
It's out in the next 2 weeks. If you have not watched a single episode of Last Chance U, get behind it. It is compelling television. It's really heartbreaking television in a way. I mean, for sports fans, you get your sports, and that's great. You get to watch a little bit of football. You get to watch some behind the scenes of what college practices are like. But you also have to watch the human element. The human element of that show is what was so compelling to me.
Yeah.
Watching Brittany Wagner just beat her forehead into a wall, with kids who were thrown out of major institutions for their own various reasons, whether it be drugs, whether it be discipline issues, whether it be just poor academic performance. They know that this is their last chance. It's literally last chance you. This is their last shot to do well and maybe get back into a big school and go do what they want to do with their lives.
Exactly.
Yet they still flounder the opportunity. We're talking about kids who are Division I talents who can't bring a pencil to class. So it's infuriating to watch, but that's what makes it so compelling. So Last Chance U season 3. No, it's season 4.
Season 4 is the final season.
Four.
And this is the big controversial one, right?
Yeah.
Isn't this a big deal?
I believe this is the one where the coach got fired from Independence, Kansas because he told a German kid, "I'm your new Hitler."
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You cannot do that. But that's the new season. That'll be more compelling as well because you know what's coming, and it'll be interesting
to
see
how
what
you got
leads
there.
Up to that kind of a statement from somebody.
See, that is what made Breaking Bad such a phenomenal television show because they showed you what was going to happen. They showed you the aftermath.
Yeah.
And then went back and explained to you how they got there over the course of a season. So in that way, in this season of Last Chance, you already know that the coach is going to get fired. How the hell did they get there?
Last sports-related one, obviously, if you're a subscriber of ESPN+, you can watch all of the 30 for 30s, and those are always fun to go through. I'll watch any of them except for the newest one, because that's gross. I just can't sit there and watch the hot dog eating contest and how they get ready and stuffing their faces, and I just can't do it. I can't do it. So I watch the event just to see what happens, but like then quickly change to something that's less nauseating.
Imagine just listening to it. Not watching it, just listening to the sounds.
But that's once a year on July 4th. Like, I don't need to have another day where I go watch this 30 for 30 about it and then spend 2 hours of my life watching them shove food in their mouth. And it's beyond just the hot dog, because I've met Joey Chestnut. Interviewed him down in Orlando. They do eating contests all year long.
Yeah.
And it's ice cream, wings,
oysters. This is their profession.
It's everything. And it's Gross. It's just gross. So I can't do it. Other things, obviously, The Office, South Park, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Parks and Rec, those things you can binge all day, any day. So stop telling me there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
Because there are sports, and if there's not sports, there's all these great things to watch. But we want to talk more sports. We're going to close out our Twitter polls. We're going to hear from you on the Twitter and phone line and more all next to wrap up the Straight Up Diddy Takeover on ESPN Upstate. Wrapping up the Straight Up Diddy Takeover here on ESPN Upstate. Make sure to chime in if you want to. You can text us 71307. Start that text with ESPN. Give us a call 844-477-3776 or get us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Your Twitter polls are closing, except for the one that I accidentally set for an entire day. But we're going to give you a final result on that right now. Anyway, first poll of the day. Are the Braves a legitimate threat to the Dodgers in the National League? Corey McCartney said it's possible if they get some pitching help. I say it's possible. In the ESPN Upstate listener, 76% say absolutely. Way to be Braves fans. Get excited. I think this team is going to do some special things, but also agree with Corey. They need another pitcher big time. Big time, especially a closer. Second poll of the day, your expectations for the Carolina Panthers in 2019. Things have changed since we last looked at this, but the winner is still mediocre to bad season. Just no expectations from the Panther fan in Greenville. Might sneak a wild card spot tied with playoffs or bust on the poll for second place. Third poll of the day, worst case scenario for the 2019 South Carolina Gamecocks. Winner of the poll below 500. So that's kind of better than what I thought. Just below 500 means they're just barely not meeting what people kind of expect them to do this year. Abysmal season is the second on the poll at 29%. That's what I voted for. Straight up takeover poll four. Worst case scenario for Clemson. Clemson fans have spoken. And if it is the one loss, the worst case scenario is losing to the Gamecocks. 38% of the poll says lose to the Gamecocks, followed by lose two and miss the playoffs. So at least there's a little bit of sense of reality that there's a possibility that if worst case scenario is to happen, if, say, you know, there are injuries in football, if something happens and they're just not quite as stout as we hoped they would be or expected them to be, two losses, maybe even a choke against South Carolina, could be worst case scenario.
And, you know, we as sports talk hosts, selfishly, we want some sort of chaos to happen.
Yes.
Especially if you break it down to the micro level here in South Carolina, here in the upstate, what do we want to see happen to make the most interesting and compelling radio? Clemson running roughshod over everybody but South Carolina would be,
yeah,
it's a dream. It's a dream come true.
It is.
In radio, because A, you have one contingent of Clemson fans saying our season is ruined because we lost to Clemson. You have another contingent to South Carolina. We'd have another contingent of Clemson fans saying, yeah, but we made the playoff, so it's still okay. Yeah, that kind of sucks, but it's still okay.
Yeah.
And then you have the South Carolina fans who would be merciless in response. And it doesn't, you could say till you're blue in the face, yeah, but we went to the playoff and we won a game, or we maybe won another national title game. Be like, yeah, but we beat you.
Yeah.
So
you couldn't come to the cockpit and get a win, baby. That's right. I can't see that happening.
That would make for the most compelling radio situation for us.
And I think we've gotten to that point now that because Clemson has been so dominant, because they have two of the last three national championships, played for three of them, and all of this, that at first it was, ooh, we finally have a national contender to talk about. So we wanted to keep talking about it and talking about it. And now, like you said, for intriguing radio, you know, maybe we need them to drop one here or there. Maybe we need them to choke against Carolina and get this rivalry renewed, because it's not really a rivalry when it's that dominant in one direction. So maybe we want this to happen this year. I can't be that optimistic of a Carolina fan. Maybe you could call me a homer, but I'm not as much of a homer as to think that they actually have a shot in that football game. So I'm just not expecting that. I'm still thinking worst case scenario, maybe a loss to A&M. Maybe, like you said, a loss up at Syracuse like happened a couple years ago. Still make the playoffs, and they'll be fine, I'm sure.
Do you see a scenario in the future where both Clemson and Alabama fall off? And it could be because, you know, Nick Saban will eventually retire. Dabo Sweeney maybe makes a decision to go elsewhere, maybe go to the NFL. Who knows? Just purely hypothetical. Would you want to see a Clemson-Alabama regular season series?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just to be able to keep that going.
If it became a I mean, it's already starting to become a legendary rivalry as far as playoff football is concerned, because the playoff hasn't been around that long, and they've played each other in three different national championship games, and then the fourth year they played each other in the playoff. So they've it's turning into that kind of a rivalry where they're going to see each other every year. So, yeah, if this became a world in which, you know, they started falling off, other teams took that hierarchy of college football, it'd be awesome to get to see them play every year still, you know, especially if we lose, you know, this big notoriety around here, if Clemson becomes back to middle tier like they were before this big push with Dabo Swinney, regardless of if he's there or not. I mean, possible is possible. It's just anything can happen in college football. Who knows? Things could turn around. You'd want to still have that big marquee matchup. And if we get so used to seeing it at such a top level, that would be fun to watch, having them do home and homes basically forever. I mean, replace us if you're going to beat us every year. Let us get a win. I'll play App State every year. How about that?
I'll take it too.
That's actually probably a bad idea. I don't want to play App State every year. It could be really bad for us. But it's a lot to take in as far as, you know, what you expect, because all we're going to hear over the next couple of days, especially from the ACC media, is they're going to build up as much as they can. They have to, because they have a conference that's not shown up overall outside of Clemson. They have the national champion, two of the last three national champions, but it's the same team, and nobody else is getting into that mix. So all we're going to hear over the next week is how many of these teams have gotten up to Clemson's level. They haven't.
Right, and no one else is getting close.
No.
So I understand the argument from some fans is, well, Clemson doesn't have to go through this murderer's row every single year. No, yeah. They don't, but when the opportunity arises, they're still winning these games. They're still beating the Auburns. They're still beating the Texas A&Ms. They're still beating the Alabamas, even though they hadn't played anybody all year long. Well, who cares?
Yeah, but the thing is, they do, and that's what we talked about. It's like they schedule these out-of-conference games that they don't have to. They have to technically because of how bad the ACC has been to get into the playoff if they are to lose a game. But if they had run the table without playing A&M, they're probably in. So they schedule these and really take a chance to do a home and home. You know, you can't even get home and home scheduled if you're not a top tier team.
Right.
And top tier teams don't like doing home and homes out of conference.
And speaking
Clemson
of,
does it every year.
Speaking of their future schedule, I know it's technically a conference game, but it's technically not. They got home and homes with Notre Dame. They've got games versus home and homes with Georgia. They've got LSU, home and homes with LSU coming up on the schedule. So Clemson schedules big. They absolutely got a second round with Georgia. It looks like a threefer with Georgia in the future, 2029, 30, mm-hmm. and 32. Looking even farther into that, they got this home and home series scheduled with Oklahoma. So you can't tell me Clemson doesn't schedule tough.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's why people get too bogged down on conference. Because, yeah, overall, there's a few more good teams in the SEC, but really overall, outside of two, three games, a lot of them are walks for Alabama.
Yeah, and are you telling me that a sudden Ole Miss would come in and run roughshod over the ACC? Probably not.
And when you look at Clemson, when they play games like that, they're making their schedule have two or three tough games and the rest not, just like Alabama.
Right.
And they're playing those teams in their house sometimes. They went to Auburn and won. They went to A&M and won.
Yeah, you don't see Alabama going on the road to Samford very often.
No.
And facing that juggernaut.
They don't come anywhere. They will only schedule neutral site games in Atlanta or Dallas. And for the most part, usually those games are against teams that are far away from those markets.
And that is a fantastic strategy if you're Alabama.
Yeah, it's smart.
Schedule as tough as you have to still be in that conversation.
Exactly. But and it's rough too, because you look at the scheduling, you got to do it years ahead.
Right. So and you have no idea where a team's going to be
Clemson
in the future.
Kind of got lucky, because when they scheduled Auburn and A&M years ago, we got to the point where they had to play them and they were good. So they got to beat a good Auburn and beat a good A&M, and it helps their roster or their resume. But they could come in and play a garbage A&M team that had fallen off and been nothing and won three games, and it would have ruined their schedule. And see, they don't schedule anybody good. But at least they took the chance and played an away game, which you don't see happen on that tier. So I think they make up for their ACC schedule. You can harp on it all you want, but I will not accept the ACC media the next couple of days telling me that Miami is back again, that Florida State is on Clemson's level, because none of that conference is anywhere close to the Clemson Tigers right now. That's going to wrap up the Straight Up Diddy Takeover here on ESPN Upstate. Always a pleasure to sit in for Sturge, hang out with Diesel for the afternoon. Thank you all for listening, chiming in on Twitter, text, phone, and everything else. As always, in the immortal words of Bill and Ted, be excellent to each other. We'll see you next time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.